Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians, chapter 6. I told you, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to start here, and then we'll see where we go from here. No, you know, I'm serious, turn to me, Galatians chapter 6. What I want to do is I'd like to take some time to dig a little bit more into what I shared with last time about sowing and reaping and seed time and harvest and really what that looks like in a grace environment and what that looks like in a kingdom environment, okay, so that we can bring right perspective to these things because this is, quite honestly, has been something that I have doctrinally tried to figure out. You know, how does the law of sowing and reaping, or how does seed time and harvest, how does that work and in the finished work of Jesus Christ? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about that our needs and all of those things are supplied by the Father because He just loves us. It's not because of what we do. It's not because of our works. And so He says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so it's the same way that we are with our children. It's our good pleasure to provide for our children. And that's what Jesus came, is to help reveal God as a Father, not just as a being that we're trying to serve, but as adopted, born again children of the Most High God. And we relate to Him now as Father and not just as God. And that's awesome. So Jesus in Luke chapter 12 was talking about His care for us. He takes care of the birds. He takes, you know, He clothes the grass. And so if He cares for all of creation, how much more value are you than all of that? And so He's just trying to get our heart focused on God's care for you. But how then does sowing and reaping fit into those things? Because kind of my background has been that how I approach my life in terms of sowing and reaping, if I'm giving money, if I'm doing this, then I'm going to get those in return. And so what I get is based on what I do. What I reap is based on what I sow. So I haven't spent a whole lot of time teaching about these things because I wanted to make sure that scripturally that we were right, doctrinally that we're right, and that it fit into the grace context, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and what it really means to operate that way from a finished work perspective. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to dig into it. I brushed through it pretty quick the last time, but now we're going to kind of dig into it so that you can really see the big picture, and it's so exciting. All right, so here's what we can tell. Galatians chapter 6, and if you'll look at verse 7, it says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." The Amplified says it this way: "Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow Himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by His precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap." Then he goes on to say in verse 8, "For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so here Paul in the book of Galatians, in this letter that he wrote, which is really defining the difference between law and grace and living by law versus living by grace, and the benefit that comes out of those two systems. One is if you try to live according to what you do and to the system of the law, he says in Galatians chapter 3, he says, those that keep the law, they are under a curse. If and there's no ifs, ands, buts about it, it's not that you will be cursed eventually. You live under a curse when you choose to live according to what you do. and trying to please God and trying to get God to bless you. But then when you just receive what Jesus has done, when you receive who He's made you, when you allow His life and His finished work to work in and through you, then you actually step into the realm of where you're just blessed. This is what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. So then all of a sudden right here, He says, now whatever a man sows, that he's also going to reap. And so here's something where it almost seems like it contradicts law and grace, but He's talking about something that we do. So let me set this up in this way. The Bible says over in Philippians, I believe it's chapter 2, it says that God is in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Jesus did not come just to redeem us and just to forgive us and just to provide a way for us just to sit and do nothing. That's not why He came. He came to restore us to original intent for creation, which we're going to look at. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are His workmanship. Let's go ahead and pull that up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ. Now, that's a key word. I'm not going to spend too much time, but you are created in Christ. You weren't just created by Christ, and you weren't created for Christ, but you were created in Him. And look at this. You were created unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So while we're created righteous, we're created sanctified, we're created cleansed, we're created holy, we're also created for something. We're created to do something. We're created for good works. And so what we have to do is while we can receive who we are in Christ, one of the things that we get to do is we get to start learning what we're created for, what our purpose is, what the gift of God is in us, and how kingdom living, what that looks like. And so part of kingdom living is sowing and reaping. So let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And let's watch how this kind of unfolded and what God's original intent. So what I want you to get tonight is this broad picture, the goodness of God, what His plan is for you, the way that He sees your life and the way it ought to be, how good He is. And so that what I don't want you to do as we go through this is say, okay, now this is something that I have to do. You've got to start from the standpoint or from the place of who you are. You start from a place of victory. You start from a place of adopted. You start from a place of being a co-heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You start from a place that you have been given an inheritance. And so He wants you to know what the inheritance, the riches of His inheritance in the saints is. There is an inheritance in you. And you start from this overwhelming place of knowing who God's created you to be and all of the abundant resources that's available to you. So in the very beginning, in chapter 1, God created, before He created us, He created the perfect environment for us. From the very beginning. I love this. He's like, let's make it all right. Let's make it all perfect. Like He didn't, you know, He didn't create us in a fixer-upper. Jennifer and I, we've moved into some fixer-uppers because we had this grand plan. You know, let's just go ahead and get in the house and we'll just fix it up and make it look nice and it'll be great. And then 10 years later, we still have things that we've never gotten to and never fixed up. And so Jennifer finally said, you know, the next time I move, I want to move into a house that's already done, that's already fixed up, you know, and that I don't have to. Well, that's what God did for us, is from the very beginning, He created the perfect environment and then placed man in the Garden of Eden. I mean, He did it all. He did the work. And then it says that he saw his work, that it was very good. And when Adam opened his eyes for the first time, he opened his eyes in the finished work. He woke up. He breathed for the first time in a completed work. Whew, isn't that awesome? So check this out. Verse 11, Genesis chapter 1. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And so here we see that God created before there was sin, before there was a curse, before there was man. What did he create? He created sowing and reaping. He created seed time and harvest. He created everything to have seed within itself to duplicate after its kind. So we can't take a sowing and reaping mentality and say this exists just under the old covenant. We can't take it and say it just exists under the law. We can't even take it and say that just exists, you know, it's just something that we have to do, and so I'm going to reject that. No, we see that God originally created all of creation to operate after this. But the difference here is that when he did this, it was just supposed to be automatic, effortless. This was just the way that we live life. Look at verse 26. So after he created all of these things, he said, and God said, let us make man now in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. I want you to see this. We're going to track this for a moment. God blessed them. The blessing of God, the favor of God, the empowering grace of God was on their lives. They weren't born into the earth or created into the earth to have to work, to have to toil, to have to labor. The blessing of God that creates effortless living and abundant living was upon them. The word of God was on them. And so what he said to them, he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And then he said, behold, I've given you every herb, and look at this, bearing seed. Every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. I find it very interesting that this particular scripture that God highlights the point. He didn't say, I'm giving you all the herbs to eat. He didn't say, I'm just going to give you all the herbs and all the fruit to eat. I think God doesn't just put words there that are unimportant. He said, I've given you all the herbs that have seed in them. And I've also given you the trees and its fruit that also has seed in him. In other words, what he's doing is he's highlighting to them the seed time and harvest, that I'm giving you something, I'm giving you seed that's going to produce something for you. It's going to continue to produce your sustenance. It's going to continue to produce for your life. Everywhere you go, you get to carry seed with you and get to plant. And so as mankind was to populate the earth, what they were able to do is that seed, they would take that with them and it would just produce. Trees would grow, herbs would grow. Everything that they needed for their food, God put in their hands all the resources that they needed so that they would be able to use those resources. And this is so important because if we were to fast forward to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, it almost says they came out of Exodus, as they exited out of Egypt, God told them, said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you, I'm going to put you in a land. But you know what? Even in that moment, God was wanting to take them to a place. And he said, and there'll be their houses. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. And you're going to have all of these cities and all of that. It's already been prepared. Again, here's another picture and a type where God is trying to bring his people into a place that has already been prepared for them. Yet, it's a physical location that they would still have to plant seed, that they would still have to grow things, that they would still have to provide for their own sustenance. Does that make sense? That there would be seed that was available to them, something that, and that's why he says it would flow with milk and honey. And so turn with me real quickly over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, I want to say this about the law for just a moment, because I understand where Paul is making a distinction between living according to the law and living under grace. All right, grace, Romans 8 puts it this way, that through grace, basically all the righteous demands of the law have been fulfilled. We've been, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, and those that walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do through the flesh, basically this law of the Spirit of life fulfilled the righteous demands. I'm paraphrasing. So all the righteousness of the law was fulfilled in Jesus, and now it's fulfilled in me because he's in me. But the law wasn't bad. The Bible tells us that. Was the law bad? No. The law was perfect. The issue wasn't that the law was bad. The issue was that we were bad. We couldn't keep the law. But the law does serve to bring us to Christ. And I want you to see in this Deuteronomy chapter 28 that if they had been able to perfectly keep the law and to fulfill the righteousness of the law, that what God said in verse 2, if you're able to do all of these things, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. And look at what that blessing is. Blessed you'll be in the city. Blessed you'll be in the field. That means what were they doing in the field? Sowing seed. They were planting a garden. They were planting things. You'll be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. In other words, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, that he created herbs and all of these things to bear fruit after itself and the trees. He says, all of that's going to now be blessed. Blessed will be your storehouse. Blessed will be, it's just blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Blessed you'll be when you come in. Blessed you'll be when you go out. In verse 11, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground in the land. Get this, in the land that the Lord swear unto your fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto your, look, land. To give rain unto your land, oh, I'm getting excited, guys, land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Notice that this blessing that God was talking about was for them when they got over into the promised land. Because he said, in the land which I'm about to give you. If you get over into this place, and Psalm tells us that God is giving us a wealthy place, taking us into a large place. Hallelujah. That in the place that God gives you, he says, when you go in, the blessing, my blessing is going to be on your life. And everything that you do, as you sow into your land that I've given you, I'm going to cause it to be blessed abundantly. As you have cattle and sheep and all of that, I'm going to cause them to be blessed. In other words, what goes on in the rest of the world won't matter because you are blessed. This also kind of gives us an idea of what happened in Egypt. Because in Egypt, as the plagues came through, the children of Israel, they lived in a little place called Goshen. And so when darkness came through the land of Egypt, Goshen had light. When pestilence came through and destroyed all of their crops, all of the crops of the Israelites was blessed and was protected. When hail and all of those things came through and killed the cattle, all of their cattle was protected. Why? Because of the blessing of God that was on them. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 3. So when Adam fell, when he sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, I want you to look at in verse 15 what God said to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Notice again, where's the focus? The focus is on seed. Now, he's talking about Jesus here. And Jesus is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We've been born again by incorruptible seed. And I don't have time to go through it, but if you trace it through, I mean, Jesus was the seed of woman. Jesus was the seed of Abraham. Jesus was the seed of David. And so God set everything up to function through seed time and harvest. The new creation happened because of a seed. See? So we begin to see now, we're not talking about trying to do something to get something in return. We're talking about now living in a kingdom and that this is what we were created for to live, and that now life becomes a lifestyle of just our sowing and our reaping and the seeds that God has placed on the inside of us to be sown into other people's lives. What are seeds? Let me kind of define this real quick. What are seeds? Like if we're sowing seed, what are seeds? Now, if you hear a lot of preachers, seed is money. Everybody wants to talk about money. But I'd like to kind of broaden that for a moment because, you know, money's one part of it, but that's not, God didn't start out in Genesis 1 talking about your money. He talked about things producing after its own kind. And we've got to broaden our view of seed time and harvest, that it's not just about what we give in church or give to this or that, but it becomes a lifestyle. This is the way we were created to live with this understanding. You get this? All right, so what are seeds that we plant? How do we sow seed? All right, so seeds are words, and seeds are actions. Okay, everything personally that we have, seeds are words, and seeds are actions in the spirit realm. So, for instance, if I were to, not that I would ever do this, but if I were to cuss my wife out, I will have sowed a seed and I will reap a harvest of an action. So, no, but seriously, if I talked ugly to her, if I said something to her, if I yelled at her, whatever, those words become seeds. If I put her down, if I denigrate her, if we do those kinds of things, those are seeds that are planted. Parents, be cautious about the seeds that you're planting in children's hearts by yelling at them, getting on to them or whatever, because those seeds will grow up and will create insecurities, will create fears, will create a wrong identity. see, because of things. And you can do that with your spouse. You can do that with family members. You can do that at work. You can be sowing seeds, or you can sow good seeds and the word of God, and it began to grow up. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let's go over there and take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I'll just read it from the screen when it comes up. This is awesome. This is what Paul was talking to the Ephesians about. I believe it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." He's talking about the seeds. "But that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." He's saying, so we, because of who we are children of the Father, children of the Highest. He said, don't let any corrupt communication now start coming out of your mouth as you talk to others, or even as you talk about yourself. I know people that put themselves down. They look at themselves and they say, you know what? I'm just stupid. I'm just not smart. I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to do that. And that is corrupt communication. What is corrupt communication? Anything that is against what God has said about you. Anything that is opposite of what God has said. So when we talk about ourselves that way, when we view ourselves that way, when we try to use a false humility, when we try to use self-deprecating humor, you know, to condemn ourselves or even to condemn others or be sarcastic or whatever, we're letting corrupt communication, and those are seeds that are being planted. But see, here he's saying, but rather let that which comes out that is good, to that is useful to building people up. Because guess what? If I start speaking words of, you are God's best, God thinks the world of you. He thinks so much of you that he sent his son to die for you and to cause you to be a new creation and to give you a purpose and a destiny. And you may not know what that destiny is, but I'm telling you, God's destiny for you is greater than you could possibly imagine. You know, and you can come into a loving relationship that you are fully accepted, that he is fully pleased with you, that he looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, what am I doing? Something, you know, starts working on the inside of you. It's like, that's awesome. That's great. You know, I want that. Building them up, building them up, building them up. And so your words are your seeds. Words are seeds. Jesus even said that about the Word of God in Mark chapter 4. He said the seed is the Word of God. As he talked about the parable of the farmer that went out and would plant seed in different places. I think it's verse 14, Mark 4:14. The seed is the Word of God. So let's let the seed that we plant with our words be the Word of God to people. Let's let the seed that we plant in our lives be the Word of God. And let's let it come into good ground. Now, your actions are also seed. What you do is also seed that is planted. Let me show you this in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 27, Jesus said, "But I say unto you which hear." And let me describe some things here, because there, sometimes there can be some teaching that goes through that says, you know, everything that Jesus said, he said before the cross. And so since he said it before the cross, that a lot of that's considered, that's under law. And I just don't buy into that. There are some things that he talked about that obviously he was talking to people that were religious and under the law, and that was given to kind of expound. Like he said things like, you've heard it said, you know, if you do this, like, or if you commit adultery, then, you know, but then he says, but I say, if you even look at a woman to lust on her, you know, then you've already committed it in your heart. And what he's doing is he's taking the law further than action and going to the root problem, which is the heart. And Jesus came to deal with the root problem, which is the heart. He didn't come to change how we live. He came to change us so that we could then live. Does that make sense? And to deal with our heart. And so you recognize those things, but you have to understand Jesus came preaching the kingdom. And so a lot of the things that he talked about was kingdom thinking and giving us a picture what living in the kingdom looks like. Now, the problem is before the cross and before the resurrection, we couldn't live this way. But he was setting us up so that after the fact, we would have pictures of what kingdom living looks like. And so at the end of Matthew, he said, so go and make disciples of all men, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Well, that was all the things that he had spent 3 years ministering to them. Does that make sense? All right. So we don't want to just take these things and not think that they're important. He said in verse 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Now, see, he's talking about something that's different than they were doing under law. So he's giving us kingdom thoughts, kingdom living. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. What's happening? You are sowing seed. As you do good to them, you're sowing seed into their lives. As you're praying for them, you are sowing seed. As you're blessing them, you are sowing seed into their lives. There is something being sown in the spirit realm because all of it comes from a motivation of love. All of it comes from who you are. You're actually doing it out of the spirit that is now working its way into the natural, but you are affecting your surroundings by the things that you're doing and the seed that you're planting. Pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that would hit you on one cheek, offer the other. And him that takes away your cloak, forbid him to take the other. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. And so again, here's just this thought. Why can we be this way? Because God has already blessed us. Our supply isn't based on what's in my bank account. My supply isn't based on what's in my storehouse or in my house or in my barn or whatever it is that you've got that we tend to want to look at. Well, I've got this in my savings account. I've got this in my 401k. I've got this in my IRA. No, that's not where your supply comes from. Your supply doesn't even come from the bonus that you get at the end of the year on your job. And so many people look and plan towards that instead of looking and lifting their hand to the Most High God, who is the possessor of heaven and earth, whose child you are, that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And my God shall supply all of your need, not according to your bonus, not according to your paycheck, not according to what you do, but according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So we when we have that view, when we have that imagination, when we see ourselves that way and see God as our Father like that, and that's our starting place, well, now it's easy to give to him that asks. So what he's talking about is not what we have to do, but he's talking about what living as a child of God looks like with the right understanding. You think Jesus was worried about it when he gave to the poor? No. Why? There's a constant supply. Do you think he was? I think that the story of the 5,000, I think it's remarkable. If you look at the version in John chapter 6, when Philip came to him and said, look, we got 20,000 people here, or 5,000 people, or however many it was, that we've got to give food to. So he's like, send them away so that they could get food. And Jesus said, you feed them. You feed them. And the scripture says that he said this to see what he would do, to see what Philip was going to do, because he knew what he would do. So he was just saying, hey, you do it. And so Philip, the first place he went to was to the bank account. He went to how much? He said, okay, let's take a look. Hey, Judas, how much money is in the bank? And Judas lied to him anyway, because Judas been stealing out of it. But he said, $20,000, that's probably the best equivalent I can give you. But he said, Jesus, $20,000 isn't enough to feed, you know, for everybody here to have just enough, you know, a little bit. And this is what we're showing in the storehouse. Jesus, you know, but then he said, but we, you know, and then here we only have a few fishes and loaves. That's not enough. But Jesus took that, and because of the blessing that was on him and the favor that was on him and what God had produced in and through him and the anointing that was there, just lifted it up. Notice, first of all, he gave thanks for it. Never look at what you have as not enough. You never look at anything as lack. You never start there and say, well, I don't have enough to pay the bill today. Well, I don't have enough to eat today. Well, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. That's a wrong mindset. And when you say that, just by saying those things, what have you done? You're sowing seed. You're reinforcing. You're allowing seed to grow up into your life, out of your heart, that enforces a lack mindset, a not enough mindset, and that's a natural way to look at things. No, we are spirit beings now. We are supernatural. We live from a different place. We've been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We live in a kingdom that produces a greater harvest. Should be effortless for us. That should just be a way of life for us. So I never look at anything and say, this is not enough. We don't have enough. That's what Philip did. But Jesus said, Father, thank you for what I have. And then blessed it. And then began to distribute. And all of a sudden, multiplication. Heaven got involved. The blessing got involved. The blessing. Remember how at the very beginning, God blessed them? God blessed them. Okay, so look, your seeds are actions. So he goes on to say in verse 31, as you would have men to do unto you, do also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, then basically what thanks do you have, or what praise do you have? For sinners also do the same. In other words, you're going to do something different. Now skip on down in verse 35. He says, but love your enemies, do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Your reward shall be great. In other words, there is a response because you're sowing this kind of seed. It actually produces in the spirit realm a reward for you. Amen. As I live my life, I experience the harvest out of how I live. I'm now able to sow the Word of God. I'm able to sow good things to people. And as a result of that, because that's the way that God intended it for it to work from the very beginning, so also will I receive out of those things. Does that make sense? But it's not that I'm doing these things just so that I can receive. I'm doing that because this is now who I am. And there's just this expectation. This is the way I live life. This is the way we go. This is what we do. So I'm always sowing seed. You're always sowing seed. Whether you think you are or whether you're not, you're always sowing seed. You're always speaking words, whether they're negative or whether they're positive, whether they're God's words or whether they're natural words. You're always doing something. You're always treating people a certain way. You know, you're always responding a certain way, and so it's a seed that's being sown. So here's what you need to know. That's why it says in Galatians 6, so he that sows to his flesh, and out of his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to his spirit and also out of his spirit will reap life everlasting. So which side do you want to be on the spirit side or on the flesh side? I've just decided I'm just going to live out of the spirit all the time. And I know that as I live and walk in the spirit, it produces the fruit of the spirit. My walk in the spirit, which is being led and guided by him, as I respond to what the Spirit of God says, as I respond out of that, it produces the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Fruit comes from seed. You get that? Fruit just doesn't just come out just because you want it to have fruit. No, fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of peace, the fruit of joy, the fruit of love, all of those things, that's in the context of walking in the Spirit. You see that? And so I'll experience the fruit of my walk. So he goes on to say, so be, The reason we're this way, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. Why? For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So notice that Jesus said you're this way because you're His children. Children act like their father. And this is the way the father is, so this is how the children is. It's talking about who you are, not what you do. You do this because you are this. And what's happened in the church is the church has tried to do this to become this. You start from a place of this is who I am, and so this naturally now, because since this is who I am, this is how I live my life. That's what he's talking about. Now, he goes on to say, judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. He's not talking about spiritual things. He's now talking about your natural relationships, your human relationships. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall, look, men, shall men, shall people give into your bosom, for with the measure that you're measuring it to others, it'll be measured back to you. So all of this is talking about your actions. So your words are seeds, and what you do is a seed. Now that changes everything when you start thinking about that. And it doesn't change because of grace. Let me tell you what grace did to Seedtime and Harvest. Turn with me over to, let's go back over to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, and we were reading in verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, it shall, and you shall bruise his heel. And if we'll skip down to verse 17, he says to Adam, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and you've eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. He says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return unto the ground, for out of it you were taken, and out of dust you are, and of dust you shall return. And so here what happened is because when sin came in and when man was separated from God, they became spiritually dead. What does that mean? When he's separated from God, spiritually dead, he was separated from the life of God. And so now everything from now on was going to have to be operated through his own work, toil, sweat, and labor. And even the ground itself was cursed and would not produce naturally and abundantly for him. What grace did is it reversed all of that. What grace did was say, you no longer are going to have to work hard for this. You're no longer going to have to try to make sure that the ground is, you know, that you're working it so hard and some seasons is going to be good and some seasons aren't going to be good. No. What grace did is it took the blessing that God had promised in the law. Okay, here's where you got to see this. Who fulfilled the law? So what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 28 a little while ago, that says, if you do all my commands and all of this, blessed you'll be in the city, blessed you'll be in the field, blessed will be the fruit of your ground. Everything that you put your hand to will be blessed. So Jesus fulfilled all of that. Right? Where are you? You're in Jesus. You're in Him. So you can't, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But here's the great news. You're not without Him. You're in Him. It's not just you and then Jesus comes alongside of you and sprinkles you with a little blessing. You're literally in Him, surrounded by Him. If you would, if you'd see yourself as swimming in the ocean of His blessing and surrounded by it, you literally, as you are led by the Spirit, every step that you take, if you're allowing Jesus to live through you, you're in Him, He's in you, then everything that Deuteronomy 28 talks about, it's on Jesus, but it applies to you too. And now it's not based on what you do. It's not about you trying to keep the law and to do good so that God will bless you. You are now just blessed. So everything that you do prospers. Everything that you touch, it just multiplies everything. But if you want, but it all comes by faith. We only have access into this grace through faith. That's what the Bible says. And the problem is we got Christians that are trying to kind of straddle the fence. They're still looking at seed time and harvest and sowing and reaping as something that I have to do to try to get God to do something on my behalf, instead of recognizing now everything is easy. Everything is automatically blessed because I'm in Jesus. As easy as it is for Him, it's that easy for me.
Wow. Amen.
It's a different mindset. Now, people will struggle with what I just said. No, no, no. I'm not Jesus. Really? So can your finger say, I'm not part of Mark? Well, your finger should say that, but can my finger say I'm not part of Mark? Can my nose say I'm not? No. Your body parts can't just decide that they're not part of you. Well, in the same way, we've got to get rid of a separated mentality when it comes to us and Jesus. We've got to recognize that we are filled with His fullness, that the goal of discovering who we are and what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, that in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we experience what God has declared about us. So, I'm anointed the same way that Jesus was anointed. I have the Holy Spirit the same way that Jesus had the Holy Spirit. Everything that He touched was blessed. And so everything that I touch is blessed. Deuteronomy 28, the blessing is on me. Do you know when God came to Abraham, He said, I'm going to bless you. I'll make your name great. And I'm going to make you be a blessing. And so he was blessed. And so the follow-up to that, I just turn with me over to Genesis chapter 12 real quick. I'm going to read a few more scriptures, and then we're going to pick up on this next week, because we're going to change. We're going to renew our mind to some things. We're going to change our mindset about some things. You know, he said in verse 2, he says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And so verse 4, he departed, and so he went, and here they went. And so in verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram, said, unto your seed, their seed again, will I give this land. And so Abraham journeyed, verse 9, on towards the south. And verse 10, look at this. So this is so funny. God says, I'm going to bless you. And so Abraham says, all right, that's great. So here we go. And he steps into a country. And guess what? There's a famine. And if that had been us, we'd be like, well, God, I thought you said you were going to bless me. I thought you were going to bless me. No. Your condition and your circumstances is not an indicator of the blessing of God on your life. It's not that you are, it's not you're stepping into a blessing. It's that you are already blessed. You carry blessing with you. So when you go into a place where there is famine and where there is lack, you are the one that's bringing supply.
Amen.
You're the carrier of the blessing for the business that you work in. You're the carrier of the blessing in your family. You're the carrier of the blessing in your place. You're bringing that. You're not looking for God to bless you because He's already blessed you. You start from a mindset of, now I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ and I carry the blessing everywhere I go. Amen. And so Abraham was blessed. And so you find out in the next chapter that if you go to chapter 13 here, verse 2, let's see, so he went down into Egypt, verse 1, then he left Egypt, and check it out. So when he left this place where famine was, it says Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He went into a place of famine, but he came out completely blessed because of God. Turn with me over to chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, this is his son, Isaac. And so God had already told Isaac that he would be blessed. And so here in verse 1, here's Isaac. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So here we are in a different famine, and this is his son. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, don't go to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I will tell you of. And he says, sojourn in this land. I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed, there he is with seed again, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so, if you'll go down, let's see, in verse 12. So Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Here he went into this place where there was famine, and so God said, I want you to stay here because you are the blessing carrier. I will bless you right here in this place of famine. So many times people are trying to look to the other side, look to another place to get to because they see blessing over there. They see blessing, and this is the mistake that Lot made. Abraham had, I'm going to bring it to a close. We just got too many things to deal with here, but Abraham took his nephew Lot with him, and so as they begin to grow, and Lot was blessed because he was with Abraham. The blessing was on Abraham, not on Lot. Lot got blessed because he was with Uncle Abraham. All right? People are going to be blessed because they're with you. When you walk into a place, when you walk into that place of business, you should just tell your boss, you don't even know who you just hired. You are about to, you don't have to do that, but you need to go in with that attitude. You need to go in that because you're there, that business is going to be the most blessed. I mean, Potiphar recognized it on Joseph out in Egypt. Joseph was a slave, but because the blessing of God was on Joseph, all of Potiphar's stuff was blessed. And so Potiphar's like, I'm not getting rid of him. I'm going to hold him close. The blessing of the Lord will cause promotion. The blessing of the Lord will cause favor. The blessing of the Lord will cause you to experience that. And so here, Lot was blessed, but it got so much that finally there was so much strife between his employees and Abraham's employees. Abraham said, look, just separate yourself. Let's, you know, and whichever way you decide to go, whether it's that way or this way, I'll take the other. And see, because Abraham knew he was blessed. So Abraham wasn't looking at a place as being the place that he would get blessed. He knew that he was already blessed because of the presence of God with him, of the covenant of God that was with him. But Lot didn't have that kind of knowing. And so Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah was built in the most, you know, rich, lush place that there was. And so Lot naturally said, I want that. I'm going to be blessed over there. And so what happened? He got into a whole lot of trouble. His daughters got all messed up. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, just because it, you know, a lot of, I hate to kind of say it this way, but a lot of times when, you know, if you look at a field, the greenest part, there's a reason why it's the greenest part, because of the sewage that's underneath. So you don't make decisions based on what you see, because there are seasons in the earth. And so a business, an industry, a place, a community can be blessed for a time. And it's just naturally those things get moved to other communities or get moved to other businesses or get moved because of competition. And if you're making decisions based on the way it looks and say, that's where my blessing is, then you've missed it, because now you're making decisions based on the natural instead of the fact of saying, I don't care where I am blessed. God will cause it to be fruitful. God will cause it to be multiplied. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, it is I that gives you the power, the ability. You are graced for the ability to get wealth, to increase. Does that make sense? Anyway, this is all based on seed time and harvest. You get to sow wherever you are, and you're just blessed. Grace came to restore the effortless nature of the blessing working in your life through seed time and harvest. And so, again, it's what you say, it's what you do, it's what you're giving to people. It's certainly there's the money aspect to it. As you sow into other people's lives and ministries and things like that, it grows up for the kingdom, and there's a reward that comes back as a result of that. So we'll get more into that next week. But I just really wanted to kind of start digging into these things. What does it mean to truly live in the blessing and to experience the blessing of God on everything that you do, and recognize you have His DNA. You have His wisdom. You are in Christ. And Christ does everything, you know, 100% excellent, experiences nothing but ease through everything. And so... I'm just joined to Him. I'm just joined to Him. You're joined to Him. You're joined to Him. So what I want, as you're coming into these Christmas holidays, so let's just do this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to pray about this. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank You. We thank You that as we are coming into the Christmas season here and as we begin to look at this is an opportunity to sow seed. To sow seed. I just hear that from the Spirit of God, that sometimes you can come into these holidays and you look at it as you have to buy gifts for people, and maybe for people you don't want to buy gifts for. And so it becomes this have to. And when anything's a have to, then that becomes a work. And that means you're doing it out of your own effort. But if you will refocus in a way and say, you know, this is what I get to do because, God, You've already blessed me. Scripture says in Proverbs that a bountiful a man, or a man that is diligent, that is faithful, has a bountiful eye towards giving. He recognizes he's already blessed. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, just thank You that we recognize, first of all, that we're blessed because of Jesus. We're blessed because we're now Your children and what He's done, and we are in Him, and the same blessing that rests on Jesus and everything He puts His hand to actually rests on us as well and empowers us to live the kingdom life. And that as we sow through our words and through our actions and the things that we do, Father, we thank You that You said great is our reward and the harvest comes back, Father, and that we live out of seed time and harvest. And so we make the decision to sow to our spirit and to sow out of our spirit to other people in the name of Jesus and to reap life everlasting. But Father, thank You that we get to see ourselves as already blessed and empowered to be a blessing to others. And so that as we, again, coming into this season, Father, help us to start from that standpoint, Spirit of God, to give us a vision of that we're the ones with our hand out, not to receive, but with our hand out to be the givers. That we are blessing minded, that we are generous in our thinking, generous in our giving, and looking for a way to be a blessing to others. But we recognize that we're that way because you have already blessed us. And so what I've just kind of sensed from the Spirit of God is a lot of times as we come into December, is there's fear that there won't be enough, that there's fear that there's going to be lack, that there's fear that you're not going to be able to do what you want to do for your children or what you want to do for your family or friends or whatever it is, or that there's not going to be enough. And the Spirit of God says, get rid of that mindset. Get rid of that mindset that you are not limited to your work. You're not limited to your paycheck. That truly look for opportunities to be a blessing and to sow. It doesn't have to be financially, but look for ways to bless others and really be blessing minded. See yourself like Abraham saw him, that God has blessed him so much that he can be a blessing. God says, I am making you a blessing. I've blessed you to make you a blessing to others, a blessing to others. Be giving minded, blessing minded, not because you're trying to get something in return, but because you are already blessed. Say, I am blessed. Say it again. I am blessed. I am blessed to be a blessing. Say it this way. Say, I'm a blessing. Because God has blessed me. And I love being a blessing to others. Well, y'all sounded so excited about that. But really, really, it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a mindset. You're graced to be a blessing to others. And it doesn't matter where you set your foot, you are blessing. You're the harvest. You're the blessing. You're the supply for your family, for your friends, for your workplace. You're there because God is in you. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Father, we just receive those words today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just again just want to thank you so much, Father, that Jesus, you came to restore unto us that ease of just walking in the kingdom, that ease of the land that you've given us, that promised land, which is spiritual. I get that. But everywhere we go now, we get to sow out of that and sow into it and experience the benefits from it in the name of Jesus. And the same thing is true with your body. If you're dealing with a sickness and disease, and if there's some things that's been going on in your body, continue to sow the Word of God. Continue to speak what the Word of God says about that. Your body has to respond to the Word of God. Your body has to respond. I'm going to say it's about authority, but you sow the Word of God and you allow that Word to just continue to grow and continue to grow and continue to grow until you're so convinced that you've already been healed. You're not the sick trying to get healed, but you are healed just resisting sickness. You continue to sow the good things into your body through your words. And you speak the Word of God because the Word of God is spirit and they are life, and it's medicine to your flesh. That's what Proverbs chapter 4 says. Amen.